This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Let's go to Rome for the Pope's general weekly audience. Ashley Nerona is our Vatican correspondent. Ashley, good morning.
Buongiorno. Good morning, John.
A very different general weekly audience because some of the Swiss guards have tested positive for COVID, so they amended the way the general weekly audience happened.
Yes, in fact, four guards have tested positive. And what was different today was that instead of Pope Francis walking down the center aisle through the middle of the audience, and that did not happen. Instead, he came directly out and sat in his chair and greeted everyone from there, also with an apology saying that he would have liked to have had that opportunity to greet everyone. But because of the new regulations concerning COVID, that just wasn't possible, John.
And today, the catechesis on the cycle of prayer continued with the Holy Father. And this has really been a beautiful catechesis that he's been talking about the power of prayer.
Yes, the power of prayer, and today focusing on the Book of Psalms. He called the Book of Psalms a prayer gymnasium. He said this is a place where people of prayer can really find a home, and it will teach us how to pray. Why? Because in the Psalms, we find prayers through times of joy and sorrow and doubt and bitterness and hope, and we're reminded that all of these prayers in Psalms are inspired by God. And so, of course, they're teaching us how to praise him and to thank him and to invoke him, how to call on him. And another common theme that comes through in the Book of Psalms is that question of suffering, because he said that for anyone who prays, we all know that we're precious in the eyes of God. So therefore, we can pray. We can reach out and cry out to God. But the question will always come, for how long must we suffer? And that question will remain unanswered. But he reminded us that all of God's plans for us are sacred. And to him, we're not just numbers, we're not strangers, that he knows each of us face to face. He knows each of our names. He knows each of our hearts. And that when we pray, we are called to that relationship with God. And the Psalms are showing us that crying out to God in prayer is what Pope Francis called the way and the beginning of salvation. And we're reminded, especially through Psalms, that we don't suffer alone. We can be confident that our prayers rise up to God and that God also cries for every one of us who suffers and who dies. And although we can always plan to have suffering as part of life, he said today that if we maintain our relationship with God, that it will bring us to a new horizon of goodness, John.
And if you're looking for something to tweet today and you want to evangelize, every psalm fits in a tweet. So there, a little bit of Catholic trivia this morning with Ashley Nerona live from Rome. The Vatican Bank has been the centerpiece of scandals in modern times. And I talk about modern times, and I'm just looking at my lifetime, and yet another one has bubbled to the surface that I know Francis has addressed.
Yes. So what's happening here today, John, is that the MoneyVal team officially concluded its evaluation visit at the Vatican. Now, what's MoneyVal? This is a European committee of experts. They're a monitoring body that is entrusted with assessing compliance with the international standards that counter money laundering and the financing of terrorism. And so part of what MoneyVal does is that it also makes recommendations to all of the organizations that it evaluates for how to make necessary improvements of their systems. Now, the Vatican actually came under that monitoring eye of MoneyVal under Pope Benedict the 16th. And this is not the first evaluation of the Vatican. Although this particular one started a few weeks ago on the 30th of September, this is the second evaluation the Vatican's had since 2012. And since then, the press office has published 15 long documents of amendments to the famous Law 18. That is the law on financial transparency. So this was considered to be a routine evaluation of the Vatican's money systems, but it's all happening in the backdrop of the Secretary of State and Cardinal Becciu scandal. And Becciu, of course, was recently forced to leave his position at the Congregation for the Causes of the Saints because of accusations of misappropriation of funds that all stemmed from that July 2019 investigation of the Vatican spending over $250 million in that speculative property deal in London that ended up in huge losses. So in the meantime, while Becciu was number two in the Vatican Secretary of State and Cardinal George Pell was Secretariat of the Economy, after back in 2015, when Pell discovered and he disclosed that over $1 billion was unaccounted for, he at that point was trying to hold every congregation and pontifical commission accountable for accounting procedures and for stricter compliance with European standards. Well, that's when the pushback began on Pell from the Secretary of State at the Vatican. So in the meantime, just yesterday, Italian finance police arrested one of Becciu's collaborators. So this is Cecilia Marogna, and she was arrested in Milan under an international warrant. It was issued by the Vatican through Interpol. She's going to be extradited back to Vatican City because they're looking at about 500,000 euro in bank transfers that were meant to be spent for what was called humanitarian aid to, but instead the money was spent on designer luxury goods, handbags, cosmetics, that type of thing. So in the meantime, Becciu is also being investigated for funneling funds to organizations that were benefiting his brothers. And so we see the tentacles are spreading now from the Vatican to Milan to London to Australia, as Cardinal Pell's lawyer is asking to follow a money trail from Australia that goes right to the Vatican to determine how that those money transfers would have influenced the investigation of Pell for sexual abuse and the witnesses against him. So this is all happening just a couple of weeks after the Vatican Secretary of State, after Pietro Parolin was removed as a member of the Cardinal's Commission for Controlling the Vatican Bank. And so, of course, the Secretary of State had asked the Vatican Bank for a loan of 150 million euro to close that London real estate deal. The Vatican Secretary of State focuses on governance and on foreign relations, so it's not involved in property management and investments. That usually comes under the competence of what's called APSA, and this is the administration of the patrimony of the Holy See. So all of this then is coming into question, and the big question is why the number two of the Vatican, the Secretary of State, Cardinal Parolin, has been at the center of all of this. And those questions are finally being asked now about other mysterious financial transactions involving the Secretary of State, like the request of $25 million from the Papal Foundation, the reorganization of the Knights of Malta. So we're going to be hearing more and more about these things, John. But in the meantime, since today is the last official day of that MoneyVal inspection, we can expect that in just a few months, we're going to get a document on what they call, MoneyVal calls, the core and key issues. And we are going to know more about all of this, John.
Ashley Narundo, always keeping us up to date on what's happening in Rome and the Vatican. And we always like to ask Ashley how important saints' feast days are being celebrated in Rome, because tomorrow we have the feast day of St. Teresa of Avila. And it's really interesting, when you look at when she lived in the 1600s, you could pick up St. Teresa of Avila today and plant her in 2020. Political, social, religious upheaval. This was just before the Protestant Reformation. She would be as home today as she was in the 16th century, and thus we really need to pray for her to deal with some of those real issues that we have today.
Yes, it's so true. Her message is so relevant, and I'm absolutely inspired by her interior castles, and we do need her today. And the wonderful thing is, as you say, John, we have her today. We have the opportunity to reach out for her intercessory prayer, and right here in Rome to celebrate her feast day. There are two special places that pilgrims are planning to visit. So one of them is the Church of Santa Maria della Scala, which is located in Trastevere. And in a side chapel, there is the relic of her foot. Of course, she was a discalced Carmelite, so it's all the more poignant that it's there. And so that will certainly be a special stop tomorrow, as well as the Church of Santa Maria della Vittoria, which houses the famed Bernini statue called the Ecstasy of Saint Teresa. Now, that statue, it's considered to be one of the sculptural masterpieces of the High Roman Baroque. And Bernini did this. Imagine, it was just about not even 100 years, actually, after St. Teresa had died. So imagine that she was a relatively newer saint. And he used a description from her autobiography to depict a moment of ecstasy that she was experiencing. So it's this, when you look at this statue, this gleaming white marble, and you see St. Teresa swooning there, there's an angel standing above her. He's got a quiet, delicate smile, and he grips this arrow, and the arrow has a little flames on the end, and it's he's ready to pierce the saint's heart. And of course, it's like I said, it all comes from her autobiography, The Life of Teresa of Jesus. And she says that, and I'll just read that line, "I saw in his hand a long spear of gold, and at the iron's point there seemed to be a little fire. He appeared to me to be thrusting it at times into my heart." And so that's what we, as the viewer, we get to experience that moment with her. We get to see, as she's lying sort of on this cloud, it looks like, that we are almost witnessing a divine apparition, because it's so very lifelike. So this will be also a place where people will go in prayer. And another interesting thing to note, John, is that on the sides of that statue, Bernini also created, they look like box seats, where there are figures, also marble figures of other members of the Cornaro family. That's actually the name of the priest who commissioned this chapel. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost as though we, like they, are viewing this, and we get these special up-close seats to experience this amazing and holy moment, John.
Ashley Narona and her husband, John, will be your personal tour guides of Rome and the Vatican. Much more on their personal website at johnandashley.org, johnandashley.org. Ashley is an American living in Rome and our Vatican correspondent here on Relevant Radio. Blessed to have her voice every week with us. Ashley, thank you. All the best to John. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, John. I sure do look forward to it.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.